This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on the Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, April 11th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start, go right to the NBA, because the NBA now in this lockout shortened 66-game season, virtually every team has 8 to 10 games left. Obviously, battles at the bottom for the playoff spot. Battles at the top for best record, etc. But a number of meaningful games yesterday. The biggest, I thought, the Celtics go down to Miami after burying the Heat in Boston last week. You'd have to think the Heat were going to protect their home court, but it just didn't happen, as the Celtics and the Spurs in the West, we'll talk about them later, seem to become revitalized at the end of this shortened season, despite the fact they had a bunch of injuries. The Celtics go down, and I think send a message to the Heat. Celtics 115, Heat 107. Celtics up 11 at the quarter, up 8 at the break, and that's where it finishes as they go 50-50 in the second half. Celtics 115, Heat 107. Boston, to me, has pretty much a stranglehold on winning their division. Yeah, the 76ers trying to catch them, I don't think so. They're going the wrong way. Yes, the Knicks trying to catch them, I don't think so. Just not quite good enough. Boston, which was hovering around 500, now 33-24, 9 games over. Miami with the loss. Miami, of course, battling Chicago for best record, but Miami with the loss, now 40-16, still obviously an excellent record, but it was all Celtics last night. Paul Pierce, 27.7 rebounds. Garnett, 24 points, 9 rebounds. Rondo, what can you say, 18 points, 15 assists. Rondo now has 15 games in a row with at least 10 assists. That's unbelievable. Garnett, 11 for 14 from the field. The Celtics, 61% from the field. King James, 36-7-7 for Miami. Dwayne Wade, 20 points, 5 assists, but clearly not enough. And it's very interesting now, because certainly I thought Miami would not only come out of the East, but win the championship this year, and they certainly still might, and they would still be my pick today to play Oklahoma City in the finals. But the Celtics, if you heard Paul Pierce after the game, if you watched that game on ESPN, Pierce said, correctly, we're getting healthy at the right time, we're peaking at the right time, we're playing very well. And again, it's not about the big three. Ray Allen yesterday, 9 points off the bench. It's really, to me, Rondo has stepped up as the main man and creating for Pierce and Garnett and Bass and Bradley and Allen. So the Celtics are an interesting team. To me, they run pretty much kind of a six-man rotation. So that could be a problem, of course, in the playoffs. But they have that veteran experience. They have that championship under their belt. I still don't think they can beat Miami, but they certainly beat them yesterday in Miami, and they buried them in Boston. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. But a huge win for the Celtics, to me, kind of a message game that they can go down to Miami and beat the Heat. Another interesting game, the Knicks, after that exciting win at the Garden on Sunday with Carmelo scoring 43 points, go out to Chicago and seemingly caught a break when Derrick Rose, who had come back after a 12-game hiatus because of a groin injury, he played against the Knicks in New York, and then they come back to Chicago and they decide before the game that he is not going to play. So no Derrick Rose after the Knicks had beaten Derrick Rose and the Bulls in an exciting game in New York. But it wasn't to be. The Bulls protect their home court, maybe showing that they can obviously win. It's all about who the other scorers. We've talked about this all year. Who are the other scorers for Chicago? Who is that guy who can be the solid number two scorer? Well, yesterday, Rip Hamilton, who was brought into Chicago to be that guy, only plays 21 minutes but goes 7 for 14 from the field, hits his only three, has 20 points, 5 assists, four rebounds. Hamilton leads the way for the Bulls as they beat the Knicks rather handily. They outscore them 25-10 in the second quarter to go up 12 at the half, and they wind up winning by 12. Bulls 98, Knicks 86. Again, to me, a big win for the Bulls because they did it without Derrick Rose, the reigning MVP, who has now missed 13 of his last 14 of Chicago's last 14 games. Lou Aldang, another guy who can score, 7 for 15 from the field, including 3 for 6 from 3, 19 points, 10 rebounds. But really, I thought, and we've talked about him all year, especially in the fourth quarter, I thought it was all Kyle Korver who finally woke up to have a big-time game, a guy who turned, I thought, a possible defeat into a victory for Chicago. Well, I should say kept the lead for Chicago in the fourth quarter. He was unbelievable. 11 points in the fourth quarter, 5 for 8 from the field for the game, 3 for 5 from 3, but not just 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and believe it or not, and they were almost making fun of him until he made his third block, and then even Jeff Van Gundy had to stop making fun of Kyle Korver. Korver had a huge game, and the best play that he made, and he didn't get credit for a steal. I'm not saying he should have, but the best play Korver made was there was a loose ball. Chicago was coming down on what looked like a 3-on-2 fast break, but Watson lost the ball. It was loose on the floor. Kyle Korver dives with two other guys. There's three guys on the floor. Korver wrestles the ball away and throws it underneath for a wide-open dunk. So he got one of his three assists on that play, but that was the effort play, plus the guy is a lights-out shooter. 3 for 5 from three is something you should see often from Kyle Korver. So Korver had key plays in the fourth quarter to maintain the lead. Every time the Knicks looked like they were making a run, it was Korver who hit a three or got a big rebound or made a great pass or hit the ground to get the ball. He played really well. And again, that's what Chicago's going to need. So you can say come playoff time that maybe these games are helping Chicago because Derrick Rose is missing so much time. Obviously, they have to get him 100% healthy for the playoffs, so they have no chance. But even with Chicago, as we've talked about in the past, they need that next guy to step up. Maybe it is Rip Hamilton, who led the Bulls with 20 last night. For the Knicks, Anthony, off that 43-point performance, had another very good game, 39 minutes, 11 for 19 from the floor, 29 points, 5 assists, 4 steals, 2 rebounds, a very good game for Anthony. Didn't get a lot of other help scoring. J.R. Smith off the bench, 6 for 13, 2 for 4 from 3. He did have 14 points. Shumpert had 12. Tyson Chandler, 10 points, 15 rebounds. But not nearly enough. The Knicks now fall to 29 and 28 and probably do have the biggest game of the year tonight in Milwaukee against the Bucks, who are right behind them. We'll get to the standings in a little bit. But a big win for the Bulls without Derrick Rose. Bulls 98, Knicks 86. A few other games to look at quickly. Orlando playing without Dwight Howard, who's got that back injury, obviously a big problem for them. Can't beat the Wizards in Washington. The Wizards move to 14-44. They beat the Magic 93-85. Now, the Magic are going to make the playoffs. Obviously, they're going the wrong way. They're 34-24. But Howard could not play because of his back injury. The Magic were only able to score 12 points in the second quarter, so they were down. They were tied at the half, but in the fourth quarter, the Wizards outscore the Magic 33-24. Again, you don't have the big man in the middle. Hard for Orlando to be a good team. Hard for Orlando to score a lot. So the Wizards get the win over the Magic, 93-85. Karen Serafin with a double-double, 24 points, 13 assists. John Wall, 15 points, 7 assists for Washington. Again, no Dwight Howard. Jameer Nelson has 19 points and 7 assists for Orlando. J.J. Redick, 15 points, 4 rebounds. But, again, not enough. Jason Richardson shoots 4 for 16. When Dwight Howard can't play, he has to shoot well and score. He finishes with 10. Anderson comes back but only shoots 2 for 10 for 7 points. Quentin Richardson off the bench with 14, but not enough. The Wizards get a good win for them, a bad win for Orlando. Wizards 93, Magic 85. A few other games quickly. 76ers trying to hold on. You know, they're in danger of not making the playoffs now, but they get a much-needed win against the lowly Nets yesterday, 107-88, coupled with that Knicks win. They do get a little room. I think it's going to be brief, but we'll go over the standings in a minute. Lou Williams with 20 off the bench for Philly. Chris Humphries with 20 points, 10 rebounds for the Nets. Philly 107, Nets 88. A few other games quickly. The Mavericks at home beat the Kings 110-100. And finally, in a meaningless game, the Cavaliers at home beat the Bobcats 103-90. Hudson with 25 for the Cavaliers. Henderson leads the Bobcats with 21. Quickly to the NBA standings now. Again, you're coming down to the final 8 or 10 games for virtually everybody. Chicago still has the best record in basketball and leads the East. They're 44-14. Miami 40-16. The Pacers have quietly moved into the third spot. Boston in the fourth spot. Atlanta just behind Boston. They're in the fifth spot. Orlando, as we said, in the sixth spot. The real battle now is for seventh and eighth, among Philly, New York, Milwaukee, Philly 30-27 in the seventh spot, the Knicks 29-28 in the eighth spot, Milwaukee 28-29 in the ninth spot. But tonight, New York at Milwaukee, big game. If the Bucks win, they'll both be 29-29. The Bucks will have the tiebreaker. They'll move into the eighth spot. After that, Detroit, New Jersey, Cleveland, Toronto, Washington, Charlotte already out of it in terms of playoff contention. In the West, Oklahoma City, best record, 42-15, but San Antonio playing two games left, 40-15. So San Antonio, same amount of losses as Oklahoma City. To me, they're a surprise in a shortened season with injuries, an older team, but they've been unbelievable, 40-15. The Lakers in third, 36-22, but they've missed Kobe the last two games, and Kobe will miss again tonight, and that's a big problem for the Lakers as they play the Spurs. The Clippers in fourth, Memphis in fifth at 33-23, Houston sixth, 32-25. Dallas 7-32-26, and again, there's really a battle for 6, 7, 8 among five teams. Houston 32-25, Dallas 32-26, Denver has the eighth spot 31-26, but Phoenix 30-27 in the ninth spot, Utah 30-28 in the tenth spot. And then it's back to Portland, 27-31. I think they're pretty much out of it, not mathematically eliminated, but pretty much out of it with 31 losses. Portland, Minnesota, Golden State, Sacramento, and New Orleans, pretty much already eliminated. But there are 5 teams for those final three spots. I think Memphis, who is in the sixth spot at 33-23, only 23 losses, is going to be okay. But you do have five teams battling for the final three spots in the West. And as we said, you have three teams battling for the final two spots in the East with that big game from a playoff perspective tonight, New York at Milwaukee. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
If you are a diabetic and concerned about maintaining your healthy blood glucose levels, please stay tuned to this important message. A market trial offer is starting now for a revolutionary breakthrough in natural blood sugar management called Glymetrol, and you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We are looking for 200 callers to receive a free trial, so call immediately. 1-888-799-9950. The ups and downs you experience from naturally fluctuating blood sugar levels can be frustrating. Clinical studies of the key ingredients in Glymetrol have shown these ingredients to be effective in supporting healthy glucose management. And now this new formula is being released to the general public. Your area has been selected to try it right now for free. The first 200 callers are guaranteed participation in the trial. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now, 1-888-799-9950. 1-888-799-9950.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few miscellaneous things to get to. If you watched any or saw later anything with respect to the Ozzie Guillen press conference, awkward to say the least, but Guillen, who stupidly made comments apparently praising Fidel Castro to a Time magazine reporter, flew back from Philly, where his team had an off day, down to Miami to meet the press, and, you know, was apologetic. Look, everybody knows Ozzie Guillen. He talks without a filter. You know, he doesn't think before he talks. Now, he said yesterday that he was trying to, he was thinking in Spanish and speaking in English, and the words came out wrong. But, you know, if he said he loved and admired Castro, hard to dance around that one, love and admire. He did say what he meant to say was, you know, he was amazed and surprised that Castro had been able to stay in power for 50 years, that he was able to stay alive for 50 years. You know, he's splitting hairs when someone said what you did was dumb or you're dumb. He said, I'm not dumb, I'm stupid. You know, again, what he said was moronic. So you can put any label you want. You can split hairs if you want to be Ozzie Guillen. You know, I have to learn from this. I'm very sorry. I feel guilty and bad and sad and embarrassed. He did say a lot of the right things, but it was interesting to me because ESPN had obviously people inside the building, but also people outside the building, and there was genuine hatred for Ozzie Guillen outside the building. And again, if you're a Cuban-American, if your family was, you know, Dan Lebatard, who's a big guy down in Miami, talk show host, columnist, et cetera, he said that Fidel Castro to Cuban-Americans is Hitler to Jews and other people. And when you look at it in terms of that, I think it's easy to understand, frankly, how this is still a big problem for Ozzie Guillen. Now, he's been suspended for 5 games by the Marlins, and of course the Marlins issued the obligatory, we don't agree with what he said. Obviously, Castro is a terrible dictator who's hurt thousands and thousands of people, etc. But again, inside the room, he seemed to be able to some degree to control the questions. He spoke in both Spanish and English. You know, Ozzie Guillen, again, he speaks, when he speaks English, sometimes it is hard to understand him, but he was on ESPN as a commentator last year during the playoffs. He is a very entertaining guy. He's an excellent baseball guy. So it's very interesting. Unfortunately for him, though, you couldn't pick a worse place to make those comments. The Miami Marlins just did open their new stadium, which is in Little Havana. That's the nickname of the neighborhood because there are so many Cuban Americans there. And there were still a lot of people outside who were saying, you know, we're going to boycott the Marlins. This guy has to be fired. There's no room for him here. Interestingly, Ozzie Guillen lives in Miami year-round. He's always had a house there. He's been there a long time. Again, beyond stupid what he said. And if you want to stick with his distinction between stupid and dumb, I don't really care. You got to think before you speak. Part of the beauty of Guillen from a baseball perspective is he tells you exactly what he's thinking. But unfortunately, when he steps outside of the baseball world to talk about anything with respect to Fidel Castro, or I think he called a writer a homophobic slur a few years ago, you know, he comes from a different world, but you can't talk in non-baseball terms about these things, especially about Fidel Castro down in Little Havana. So I don't think it's a closed deal yet. You know, I read a couple of articles in the New York papers, the suspension, the punishment fits the crime, he shouldn't be fired. I don't know, hard for, I think, frankly, white people up in New York City to really understand what it means when you hear praiseful words about Fidel Castro down in Miami, 90 miles from Cuba, where you know the deal, everybody's trying to get on a raft, or a lot of people are trying to get on a raft or even try and swim from Cuba to America. So I don't think this is really over. Again, there are a lot of Cuban-American groups still calling for his firing, still calling for them to boycott the Marlins, still calling for them not to buy any tickets. And I can understand that. So I don't know if this is over. If you believe Ozzie Guillen, he said, you know, I'm 48 years old. This is the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. And good for him for recognizing that. But hard to believe that he didn't understand that before he opened his mouth. I mean, I don't know if this is, you know, you hear that famous line about Mussolini, the Italian dictator in World War II. Mussolini made the trains run on time. You know, you don't hear anyone really speaking positively about Hitler except the wacko, you know, neo-Nazi pro-white supremacy guys. But again, there are just some things you shouldn't talk about. And for Ozzie Guillen, again, a guy with no filter to open his mouth about such a hot topic, hot button issue as Fidel Castro in a town where he works and lives, with a stadium in Little Havana. Well, again, that's beyond stupid. I think that's moronic. But He's apparently going to address his players today. The team was still in Philly. They had played 2 days ago, opening day. They had an off day yesterday. They're playing in Philly today. So Guillen, who will not be able to manage, will address his players before the game today. But I'm not so sure that this is just going to go silently into the night, because that's a huge problem down where it is, as it should be. In another world of stupidville, Bobby Petrino fired by Arkansas last night. Petrino, and you know the story by now, was riding his motorcycle with a 25-year-old he had recently hired and admitted to an inappropriate relationship with. Unfortunately for him, got into some kind of accident or drove off the road. You know, the cops came, witnesses were there. He told everyone to essentially forget what happened. He had an Arkansas State Trooper who he called accompany him to the hospital. Apparently they took the 25-year-old home and tried to make it like she wasn't there. But at the end of the day, you hear this all the time, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. And that's, you know, that's not a crime what he did. Again, beyond stupid, riding a motorcycle with a 25-year-old hanging on to you, you know, who you had just recently hired to work in the Arkansas football department or athletic department. But it's the lie. It's not the crime or the action. It's usually the lie. And the lie is what got Bobby Petrino fired, according to the Arkansas athletic director, Jeff Long, who frankly seemed emotional as he was firing or doing the press conference after firing Bobby Petrino. You know, he's contrary to the character and responsibilities we demanded Arkansas, which is what Bobby Petrino's contract said. So he was terminated immediately as of last night. Petrino already trying to save his career, frankly. Who's going to hire him next? Maybe an NFL team. Unlikely he'll be back in college anytime soon, but he did come out with another statement. I'm sorry. I apologize. But according to Jeff Long, the AD, Arkansas was misled and manipulated by Bobby Petrino. That's a quote. So he's going to be done. And you know, Petrino, not a well-liked guy, but a great football coach, walked out in Atlanta in the middle of the season when they were 3-10 or towards the end of the season in 2007 to take the Arkansas job, has turned Arkansas into a national power. They were ranked fifth at the end of the season last year and were viewed to at least be a potential threat to schools like Alabama and LSU. The only two losses last year, Petrino was 11-2. 10-3 the year before, 34-17 in three seasons. This past season, losses only to Alabama and LSU. Arkansas, again, ranked fifth on the cusp of fighting for a national championship, but it's going to be very hard now. Apparently, according to Joe Schott of ESPN, some of the players have already gone and asked that one of the assistants be appointed an interim coach. It's going to be hard to find a top coach now. The main name coming out is Butch Davis, who has ties to Arkansas. But it's going to be very hard for anyone to walk in there now and keep the program at the level it's at, and even better, again, better being beating Alabama, beating LSU. Alabama looks like they're loaded for bear again this year. LSU maybe not quite as good, but, you know, it's very, very tough in the SEC, far and away the best college football conference in the country, et cetera, et cetera. So the bottom line is Bobby Petrino out as the coach. Jeff Long, the AD, said we're starting the coaching search immediately, you think? But again, it's so late now. And it's going to be hard to get a coach that's at a school now, I think, to walk out on his school and come to Arkansas. Again, the one name that sounds reasonable is Butch Davis, who again has ties to Arkansas as a top college coach. He might be the guy that they bring in, or if they want to have a national search and have their pick, which Arkansas have a very attractive job, they'll have their pick of a lot of top coaches at the end of the 2012 college football season. They might appoint an interim coach for 1 year, but the bottom line, and a lot of people thought Arkansas would keep Petrino under the he wins theory, which often does work, does not work here. Bobby Petrino fired as the head football coach at Arkansas. A few other things going on before we get to the baseball, and we'll talk a little bit about the hockey playoffs, which start tonight as well. Kobe Bryant's going to miss his third consecutive game He's got an inflamed left shin, and again, the Lakers without Kobe, come on. They're playing the Spurs tonight. It'd be very difficult for them to even compete against the tough Spurs team without Kobe. Jim Ferry, who you probably don't know on the national level, but he did an unbelievable job at LIU, Long Island University in New York, as the head basketball coach. LIU made the NCAAs twice in a row. Jim Ferry is leaving LIU to go to Duquesne. Jack Perry, his top assistant, is now the new LIU coach, so they're having at least a smooth transition there. Couple of baseball notes. We'll get to all the baseball games in a minute, but a couple of baseball notes. The Cincinnati Reds gave Brandon Phillips a six-year, $72.5 million contract extension. And again, if you watch Phillips play, he's a human highlight film in the field. Just makes some unbelievable plays at second base for Cincinnati. David Wright, you know, the Mets get off to that 4-0 start. They lose yesterday to the Nationals. But David Wright, believe it or not, if you're a Mets fan, I'm sure you believe it, breaks his right pinky finger simply diving back to first. I mean, just bizarre. If you saw the game, he just, you know, he had a nice lead, not a gigantic lead. Guy throws over, he dives back. He doesn't, like, hit the first baseman's leg, or the first baseman doesn't step on his hand. He just simply dives back, and he's wearing a glove, by the way, on his right hand. Dives back to first, doesn't look like anything, comes out of the game, broken right pinky finger. He says he can't grip a bat. Now, apparently no surgery is required. They're hoping to give it a few days of rest and hoping he can play on Friday. And hard to believe, if he has a broken right pinky finger and he couldn't grip a bat on Tuesday, how he's going to play on Friday. But we'll just have to wait and see. Wright was off to a hellacious start for the Mets. The Mets 4-0, now 4-1 after losing to the Nationals. But David Wright is out at least for today's game, and we'll talk about today's game in a little while later. Talk about a great matchup. Strasburg against Santana, Nationals against the Mets. But David Wright will not be playing in that game. One other miscellaneous note, an NFL note, or two other notes, I'm sorry. Apparently it's now come out, Lamar Odom, as you know, done for the year in Dallas. The fit never worked. Odom was stupid and in a huff asked the Lakers to trade him after he heard he was on the trading block and almost traded before the season. The Lakers stupidly traded him. It never worked in Dallas. Boy, do the Lakers miss Lamar Odom. Now it's come out that Lamar Odom and Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, had a bad conversation on Saturday, and that led to Odom being gone on Monday. Again, it turned out to be lose, lose, lose for everybody. Lose for the Lakers, lose for Lamar Odom, lose for the Mavericks. Again, you got to keep your head in those situations. If Lamar Odom was on the Lakers now with Ramon Sessions at the point, and of course Kobe, Gasol, and Bynum, well, that's a team, I think, that could have made a championship run. But they lost Odom. Kobe's hurt. I don't think people really view the Lakers to be a championship contender. Sessions has improved them somewhat. But in any event, that was the reason. Apparently there was a blow-up between Lamar Odom and Mark Cuban over the weekend that led to his not being traded, not being cut, not being released, but put on the inactive roster. Clearly, they don't want Odom to play the rest of this year. You got to think they're going to trade him, of course, for something over the offseason. I don't know what they're going to get for him now that he doesn't want to be there and they don't want him. And one other football note, you know those appeals were denied across the board in the New Orleans Bounty Gate case. Peyton's still getting a year. Mickey Loomis, the GM, still getting 8 games. Joe Vitt, the associate head coach, still getting 6 games. But it's now come out that apparently Bill Parcells will not coach New Orleans. He's, quote, taken his name out, close quote, of the running. And now it looks like they're going to hire an interim guy from within for 6 games. And then Joe Vitt, who's going to be the coach, apparently starting with Game 7, been in the league forever, over 30 years. He was the interim head coach once for the Rams in 2005 for 11 games, but Joe Vitt looks like from Game 7 on, he'll be the coach of the New Orleans Saints, and they might rotate. Remember when Sean Payton was hurt last year and wasn't around for a long time? They actually rotated who was the guy in charge for 6 games, so it might be coaching by committee for New Orleans for the first 6 games of the season, and then bringing in Joe Vitt off that 6-game suspension. Now, Vitt can work now with the team, but he will obviously not be around for the first 6 games of the season. But the plan looks like now that he will be the head coach from Game 7 on, and it might very well be head coach by committee in New Orleans for the first 6 games of the 2012 season. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7. Online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. We'll get to all the baseball in a minute, but I just want to talk briefly about the NHL playoffs, which start tonight. We'll have a guest on Friday to go over the playoff series, but a fascinating thing, the NBC series of networks, for lack of a better term, that includes, obviously, NBC, NBC Sports Network, which used to be Versus, CNBC, and the NHL Network. They're going to show, for the first time ever, every NHL playoff game. And if you're a hockey fan, you've just hit the jackpot, because every game of every series is going to be on one of those stations, and that's never happened in the United States. You know, it's always been regional, with maybe one game a week or two games a week, or maybe they show all the Stanley Cup finals. But this year, a bonanza for hockey fans. Every single game. Tonight there are three games. I think the most interesting series is Philadelphia at Pittsburgh, even though it's a 4-5 series. Philadelphia gave all that money to Brizgalov, and we talked about it. I thought that made them a very good Stanley Cup contender. He was up and down, at times brilliant, at times not good. But, of course, as we've talked about all year, if Pittsburgh could get Sidney Crosby back healthy, and it seems that he's back healthy. I mean, they were very good without him. Evgeny Malkin is going to be the MVP, the Hart Trophy winner, I think, anyway. He was unbelievable this year. It's amazing over the years how Lemieux, Yager, Crosby, Malkin. I mean, it's amazing the guys that Pittsburgh gets. And, of course, Fleury is an excellent goaltender. So Philly at Pittsburgh, that game is tonight, 7:30 on Versus. Again, every single game. Following that is Los Angeles at Vancouver. That's an 8-1 series. Obviously, Vancouver has been a Stanley Cup contender all year. Same analysis, though, Roberto Luongo. If the good Luongo shows up, Vancouver can go all the way. If he doesn't show up, they're going to have big problems. And the third game tonight, Detroit at Nashville, 7:30 p.m. on CNBC. Nashville, actually the number four seed, home ice advantage. Detroit slipping a little, but again, tons of playoff experience, lots of Stanley Cups there. Nashville has Pekka Rinne, one of the best goaltenders that nobody knows about in the National Hockey League. But those three games tonight start the NHL playoffs. And again, the matchups, as you know, number one Rangers against number eight Ottawa, number two Bruins against number seven Capitals. This is in the East. Number three Florida, but a weak number three. They won their division against number six New Jersey Devils. And I think what's going to be the best series, the number four Penguins against the number five Flyers. Again, a lot of bad blood, could be a lot of fights, but even from a hockey perspective. Now, Prong has been out forever for the Flyers. That's a huge loss, obviously. And the Penguins get back Crosby healthy, that could be the difference between not only winning this series but winning the Stanley Cup. In the West, number one Vancouver against number eight Los Angeles Kings, the St. Louis Blues, who had a great season, regular season, number two against the seven San Jose Sharks, number three Phoenix against number six Chicago Blackhawks, and number four Nashville against number five Red Wings. Those are your NHL playoff series. And again, this is amazing to me, but fantastic, of course. Every NHL playoff game, eight series, every game, all through the Stanley Cup playoffs, each game will be on some station in the NBC network of families. Want to switch now to Major League Baseball. In the battle of the undefeateds, if you will, or the remaining undefeateds as of yesterday, in the American League, the Rays against the Tigers. The Rays, of course, swept the Yankees, and they go up to Detroit to play the Tigers. The Tigers get the win, 5-2. They score one in the bottom of the seventh to tie it at 2, 3 in the bottom of the eighth to win it. Detroit 5, Tampa Bay 2. Cecil Fielder with a big RBI single, Cabrera with a big RBI double. Austin Jackson hits a home run for Detroit. Detroit is now the only remaining unbeaten team in the American League. Detroit 5, Tampa Bay 2. Jennings, the only guy with more than one hit, 2-for-4 for Tampa Bay. For Detroit, Brandon Bosch, the right fielder, 2-for-4. Young, 2-for-4 as well, Delman Young. Again, the Tigers have a very, very good lineup. led by Cabrera and Fielder, you know, and they're going to have a lot of walks as well. Cabrera goes 1-for-2 with a run scored and 2 walks. Fielder goes 1-for-3 with a run scored, an RBI, and a walk. You're going to see a lot of walks for those guys. It's only a few games. It's only 4 games, but Cabrera's hitting 462 and Fielder's hitting 400. And think of the year that Cabrera might have with protection from behind, if you will, by Prince Fielder, who already is playing great. So the Tigers 4-0. Tampa Bay now 3-1 after sweeping the Yankees. Matt Moore pitched well for Tampa Bay. McGee took the loss in relief. Rick Porcello pitched very well also for Detroit. Koch gets the win in relief. Valverde gets his first save after blowing a save after having a perfect season last year. Porcello, 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs. Matt Moore, who was fantastic in the playoffs for Tampa Bay last year, 6 2/3, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. But again, the relievers got the win and the loss there. So the Tigers, the last remaining undefeated team in the American League, they're 4-0. A couple of other interesting games. We'll do the American League first. Mariners against the Rangers. This was a fascinating game because Neftali Feliz, the closer for Texas last year, you'll recall, attempting to make the change from a closer to a starter, and he was unbelievable yesterday. He not only got the win, he shut out the Mariners for 7 innings, giving up 4 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 4 Ks. He gets the win. He's 1-0. Joe Nathan, who's the closer this year for the Rangers, comes in a 1-0 game and has a 1-2-3 inning in the ninth. He gets his second save of the year. The Rangers beat the Mariners. Rangers 1, Mariners nothing. You know, give the Rangers credit. They have a very good pitching staff. And now if you throw in Feliz with his first start of the year, well, they're going to be very, very, very tough. Murphy, their very good hitting left fielder, goes 3-for-3, drives in Michael Young, the DH, with the only run of the game. A very good win for Texas. Texas 1. Mariners nothing. It's gone as well as it could hope for Texas in terms of Feliz and his first start. Ichiro 0-for-3, but he's hitting 360 off to a good start. Smoke with 2 hits, Montero with 2 hits for Seattle, but Texas gets the win. Adrian Beltre 2 hits for Texas. Murphy, as we said, 3-for-3. Rangers 1, Mariners nothing. Yankees and the Orioles, of course, the Yankees swept by Tampa Bay, and Baltimore was 3-0. The Yankees were 0-3, but, of course, the Yankees always seem to beat Baltimore somehow, some way. They got their first win of the season on Monday. They get their second win of the season, the Yankees do, yesterday, beating the Orioles in 12 innings at Camden Yards. Yankees 5, Baltimore 4-12. Was a ground rule double by Raul Ibanez in the 12th that provided the game-winning run in the top of the 12th. Rivera comes in for his first save of the year. Yankees 5, Baltimore 4. But Baltimore, I think, found a pitcher, this Wei-Yin Chin, who started the game. And, you know, if you watch that game, and of course I did, Jeter hits a leadoff home run, a long home run to center field. And then Swisher gets up and hits one almost out, doubles off the wall in right center. After 2 batters, you're like, wow, is this kid going to be able to even get out of the first inning? But Chin calmed down after that, 5 2/3, 7 hits. He gave up 4 runs, but only 2 were earned. You know, he actually should have had a chance to win that game, but got a no decision. As, again, it goes to 12 innings, Yankees 5, Baltimore 4. For the Yankees, Freddy Garcia was not good. He threw 5 wild pitches in 4 2/3 innings. And again, Garcia had a good spring, but he just had no command yesterday. Walked 3 4 2/3 innings. Got a no decision because, of course, the Yankees came back. For the Yankees, Jeter 2-for-6. He's hitting 391. Cano 3-for-6, he's hitting 304. Ibanez came in for Andrew Jones, was 2-for-3, including what proved to be the game winner. Gardner batting in the ninth spot, starting against the lefty, was 2-for-4. He's hitting 385. So again, a good win for the Yankees. They didn't want to go to 1-4, obviously. Believe it or not, for the Orioles in the 12-inning game, nobody got two hits for the Orioles, so obviously not a good day offensively for them. I thought this Chen, after watching him at the beginning, I didn't think he could even last, but he came back and pitched very well. Lefty, throws 90, but good control, nice changeup. J.J. Hardy hit a home run for Baltimore, his second of the year. Jeter, as we said, with his first of the year. Yankees 5, Orioles 4 in 12 innings. A couple of other games to look at in the American League. You know, the Royals, I think they're going to be a good team this year. They moved to 3-2. They shut out the Athletics yesterday, 3-0. Danny Duffy with the six-inning shutout, he gets the win. Of course, very few guys, you know how it is, very few guys go nine innings anymore. Billy Butler with two hits for Kansas City. Francoeur with two hits for Kansas City. RBIs to Moustakas, the third baseman. Mayer, who pinch hit and drove in a run. And Quintero, the catcher. Kansas City 3, Oakland nothing. Oakland drops to 2-4. Oakland one hit. I mean, again, just an unbelievable outing for Duffy. He gave up the one hit in his six innings of work with eight strikeouts. Royals 3, Athletics nothing. Pennington, the shortstop, batting ninth, got the only hit for the Oakland A's, and you know they're going to have some offensive problems this year. Kansas City moves to 3-2. Again, I think they're going to be, you know, Hosmer has a lot of power. He's a good young player. I think they're going to be okay. Red Sox drop to 1-4. The Blue Jays beat them 7-3. Daniel Bard, you know, we talked about Neftali Feliz and his experiment, if you will, to move from closer to starter. He was unbelievable, but the Red Sox experiment, and there are conflicting reports coming out of Boston. Some people say that Bobby Valentine, the manager, wants Daniel Bard in the bullpen, especially now that the bullpen has been terrible for the Red Sox so far, and their closer Bailey needs surgery or had thumb surgery. Now Bard starts yesterday, and he certainly was not very good. Blue Jays 7, Red Sox 3. Drabik gets the win. Bard takes the loss. Encarnacion hits his first home run of the year for the Blue Jays. The Red Sox go to 1-4. The Blue Jays go to 3-2. Quickly to the National League now. The Mets were undefeated, 4-0. Again, who thought the Mets would be 3-0 or 4-0 and the Yankees would be 0-3 or 1-3? Nobody. But yesterday, a bad day all around. Now, the Nationals started Detweiler against the Mets. He gets the win. Dylan G takes the loss. Nationals 6, Mets 2, and it was just a bad day all around for the Mets. Ian Desmond for Washington hits a leadoff home run to put the Nationals up 1-0. It remained that way till the sixth inning when the Nationals scored three more runs. Wilson Ramos with an RBI double to right that maybe should have been caught by Lucas Duda. Look, obviously the Mets are going to have some defensive problems. Daniel Murphy made a key error, and you know already he's got bad problems at second base, although he's an excellent hitter. Duda on the Ramos double maybe should have caught it. Jason Worth breaks out with four hits for the Nationals. You know, he looks, I guess they say he's a guess hitter, but sometimes he looks horrifically bad. Obviously, he was very good for the Phillies, was very bad for the Nationals, who gave him a ton of money last year. He hit .230, but yesterday he gets four hits. He goes 4-for-5 with two RBIs. Even on a 4-for-5 day early in the season, his average is only .263. Ramos, as we said, two hits, including that RBI double. Ian Desmond, two hits, hitting .364 in the leadoff spot, including that home run for Washington. Detweiler, pretty good pitcher, five innings pitched, two hits, no runs, took him out, but the bullpen was good as well for the Nationals. For the Mets, Dylan G takes the loss, 5 1/3, eight hits, four runs, three earned, six strikeouts, but he takes the loss. Cedeno batting in the two hole for the Mets goes 3-for-4, so that's an added plus for them. But again, they've got some issues, and the worst issue yesterday, we talked about it already, David Wright, just a simple dive back to first. You'll see 1,000 guys dive back to first this year. Didn't look like he hit anything. He must have jammed his finger against the base, but he now has a broken pinky finger, at least out for today. And again, that's Santana against Steven Strasburg. That's going to be a fascinating game. Let's go quickly to the rest of the National League. The Diamondbacks undefeated, 4-0 in the National League. They beat the Padres 4-2. Breslow gets the win. Owings gets the loss. J.J. Putz already with three saves this year. Chris Young hit the game-winning home run in the top of the 11th. He hits a two-run homer. Putz gets the Padres out in the bottom of the 11th. 4-2 Arizona. They are 4-0 in the National League. A few other games. The Dodgers, the 50-year anniversary of Dodger Stadium. Of course, they played in Chavez Ravine when they first moved in there. Dodgers 4-1 now after they beat the Pirates 2-1. Kershaw pitched very well, as did Correa for the Pirates. Neither one gets a decision. Jansen gets the win in relief for the Dodgers. Grilly takes the loss. Guerra gets his third save already for the Dodgers. Andre Ethier hits his second home run of the year. The Cardinals beat the Reds 3-1. What can you say about the Cardinals? No matter what changes they have, they keep on trucking. They're 5-1. Kyle Loesch, who was great on opening day, excellent again yesterday. He goes to 2-0. Leake takes the loss, 0-1. Jason Mott gets his second save of the year. Beltran hits a home run, his third of the year. Freeze hits a home run, his third of the year. You can look for Beltran, who was good for the Mets last year when healthy, was then traded to the Giants late. You can look for Carlos Beltran to have a big year for the Cardinals. The Braves beat the Astros 6-4. Hanson gets the win. He's 1-1. Whalen takes the loss. Kimbrel gets his first save of the year. Chipper Jones hits his first home run for Atlanta. Pastrnicki hits a home run for Atlanta. That's a good young shortstop who fought his way into the Braves starting lineup. And finally, the Brewers beat the Cubs 7-4. Narvison gets the win. Mahomes takes the loss. 7-4, your final for the Cubs. Soto hits his first of the year. For the Brewers, Gonzalez and Lucroy both hit their first home runs of the year. Want to get to today's pitching matchups, and we'll just give you the really highlighted pitching matchups, then we'll get into the TV. But today, some unbelievable pitching matchups. Maybe the best, Rays at the Tigers, 105 Eastern, James Shields against Justin Verlander. Verlander was unbelievable in his first start, didn't get a decision. Shields was not good against the Yankees, no decision for him as well. We already talked about Strasburg against Santana. Both got no decisions, but both pitched very well. Strasburg coming off the Tommy John, he had five starts the end of last year. He looks awful good this year. Santana, of course, coming off the 2010 shoulder surgery, missed all of last year, was a real question mark whether he'd start. Through five shutout innings, was very good opening day for the Mets. He's right back on regular rest. Strasburg against Santana, that's 1:10 Eastern out at Citi Field in New York in Queens. I think the best pitching match of the game tonight down in Philly, Marlins at the Phillies, 7:05 Eastern. Josh Johnson against Roy Halladay. I don't think you can get any better than that. A few other good pitching matchups tonight. Giants at the Rockies, 8:40 Eastern. Lincecum against Guthrie. And tonight also down in Baltimore, the Yankees at the Orioles. Sabathia against Arrieta. Arrieta 1-0. Didn't give up a run in his first start. Sabathia did not pitch well. No decision. But Sabathia against Arrieta tonight down at Camden Yards in Baltimore, 7:05 Eastern. Want to get quickly to the TV today. ESPN doubleheader tonight, basketball, the huge game, Knicks at the Bucks. If you're following the bottom of the Eastern Conference, that's almost a must-win for Milwaukee. Warriors at the Trailblazers after that, and kind of a meaningless game, 10:30 Eastern, ESPN. The NHL playoffs, we already told you, the versus doubleheader is Flyers at Penguins, 7:30 Eastern, Kings at Canucks right after that, 10:30 Eastern. And the baseball today, four games. Cardinals at the Reds, 12:30 Eastern, MLB Network. If you get the YES Network, that Yankees at Orioles game, 7 o'clock Eastern. If you get the Mets Network, and they tell me it's a national network now, SNY, 1 o'clock, Nationals at Mets, Strasburg against Johan Santana. And tonight, ESPN2, Marlins at Phillies. The Marlins, of course, without their manager up in Philly to play the Phillies. That's 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.